You're listening to Trust Me, You're Broke. I'm your host, Julia, a millennial consultant in banking, here to give you some tips and tricks on how to make, save, and grow your money. Let's get started. Did your parents ever tell you money doesn't grow on trees? Because I know my parents certainly did, and they would tell me things like, money is not free, you have to save it, you have to be really strategic on where you spend it. But also, if you think about it, growing your personal wealth does in fact require you to plant the seed with your current savings, and when done right, can really become a quote-unquote tree that yields more financial gains. So I'm glad you're tuning in, because it is all the more important for us millennials to plant those seeds early and strategically. Because the truth of the matter is, financially, we millennials have it pretty damn tough. According to Forbes, the median price paid for a home between 1997 and 2016 rose 259%, while earnings only rose 68%. And despite more than 40% of us having a bachelor's degree compared to 30% of boomers, we earn 20% less than they do at a similar life stage. So, you know, without being super depressing to start with, I just want to say that, you know, our generation isn't just about freaking avocado toast. It's that we are actually kind of broke as a whole. But I'm a glass half full type person when it comes to personal finances, and I think that's a really important mentality to have, because on the flip side of things, I think our generation has benefited from a lot of great emerging opportunities due to technological advances. So you now see things like car sharing apps, delivery apps, you see social media, and that's really created a platform for us to make money in ways that really weren't traditionally available to other generations. So really the moral of the story here is that it's really tough for us millennials, but it's not impossible to grow your wealth. So have a reason and stay focused. Don't start with the latest way to get rich quick or investing hacks or newest high interest rate products out there. Trust me, working at a bank, I get exposed to a lot of the nitty gritty, a lot of offerings that are available. But if you don't lay the foundations right, it is very easy to get lost in all of the things that are offered in the market. Or you get influenced by my biggest pet peeve ever, which are guys standing in front of their Lamborghini on YouTube teaching you how to get rich quick, when really they're just trying to sell you a course and they're getting money in their pocket. Okay, I digress. Anyway, ultimately what happens is that you get overwhelmed. You get overwhelmed by the plethora of options out there. And as a result, you never start. And I have seen so many examples of this, I think, just within my inner circle of friends who are just simply overwhelmed to begin. Like, where do you begin? And my advice to you in this episode today is forget about money for a second. I know, shocking, you thought this podcast was about making money, which it still is, but I would say the best way to start building and growing your finances is to ask yourself why. What is the reason why I have to save today? Because here's what happened to me, and here's my honest story. I moved to Canada when I was 18. I moved here alone for university. And so, you know, my family never immigrated here. I had no family members or previous networks over here. And financially, I had no credit history, nothing established here. Where I was lucky was that I never had to deal with student loans or debt to begin my adulthood. And I feel very grateful for that, because I received a Fulbright scholarship to university. So a part of that agreement was actually that I would receive a check every semester as part of a stipend kind of a thing to help with my extra costs, such as textbooks, meals, rent, all of that. So while I did use that money to, you know, help my rent, to help pay for some of my food and my textbooks and all of that, you know, if you've gone to university, you know how expensive those freaking textbooks are. So that was very helpful. But on the side, I actually did have a part-time job at a jewelry store. And here is the tragic part. Guess how much of that money I was able to save by the time I graduated university? The number is a big, fat zero. So fast forward 4 years, here I was, a fresh graduate of university with $0 in my savings account, a very low credit score due to a lack of credit history, as well as some mishaps due to some misunderstandings, which I will go through in more detail in another episode. But essentially, I was not in a good place when it comes to finances. I did not have a steady foundation for myself to save the money that I was making in my first job and then growing that strategically. I didn't have that because I had built a really weak foundation for myself. And looking back, one of the biggest reasons I believe as to the reason why I had such a weak foundation to begin with, and I had no motivation to really save when I could have, when I was being subsidized by university and I had parental help, was because there was no bigger goal and bigger purpose. Fast forward, when I started my job within the industry, what happened to me in my personal life as well, in addition to really starting to learn the ins and outs of how financial institutions work as a business, all of the, you know, offerings out there, on the personal side, the biggest change I think that happened was that I entered into a relationship, a serious one. I'm still in that relationship. And I think what that's done for me is help me change my perspectives in life and make me want to really realistically look at the future and want to plan for it. So, you know, I'm not saying you have to enter into a relationship to feel motivated enough to plan for your future, but whatever life stage you're in, there must be either, it could be intrinsic or externally motivated reasons as to why you want to plan for the future. And once you have found that motivation, what I would encourage you to do next is to look at, what are my long-term goals? So I would say, you know, 10 plus years. What are my midterm goals, 3 to 5 years? And then what are my short-term goals, which is a year or within a year? And fun fact, not only does that help you get more focused on your financial goals and starting to save better and looking into an investment plan that works for you, it also helps you have a much more productive conversation with a financial services representative or a financial advisor at your bank. Because I 100% guarantee you, the first meeting that you have with your financial advisor when you sit down with them, they will ask you, what are your goals in life? And so if you have this prepared in advance and you have thought about it, then you will have a much more productive conversation with that advisor on the different types of banking products that you can use, different types of investments account that are more suitable for instance, withdrawing money in the short term versus the long term, a higher risk versus lower risk investments, having those conversations that are much more tailored to what you're looking for. And in having those tailored conversations, now you are building a much stronger foundation with your personal finance. If you're going to the bank today and the conversations you are having is something similar to, well, what's the cheapest option out there? What is the lowest fee credit card, or what is the lowest fee or free savings account that I can open? Then that is not a tailored enough conversation for you. And that is an indication for you to go home and do your homework, which is to understand exactly what you want to achieve in the short, mid, and long term. So for me today, I actually have separate kind of nest egg accounts. So I have one for the short term, which most likely for me is going to be travel. So my boyfriend and I, for example, we're discussing going to an all-inclusive resort end of next year when this whole coronavirus is over. And then my ambitious midterm goal is to be able to afford a condo here in downtown Toronto, which for those of you who know, it's incredibly expensive here. So those are my goals, and these goals have really helped me shape the conversations that I have with anyone, really. It could be my financial advisor, it could be my colleagues, my friends and family, and it's just about letting everyone know that you have this big picture in mind, and therefore you're going to start behaving in a way that steps towards that goal. So that's spending responsibly according to the plan that you have, but also seizing opportunities to not just leave your money in your bank account and let it sit and really let it lose value over time, but allowing it to grow in ways through investments, through high interest savings accounts, through education, whatever it may be. It's allowing yourself and opening up yourself to all of those opportunities. The second part to this is manifestation. And yes, you're probably like, not another person talking about the universe and manifesting, but I seriously deserve some credit here for doing all this manifestation activity before it became a trend. So don't come at me, but I am going to talk about manifestation and its importance in starting your financial journey. My interpretation of manifestation is, I think, a little bit less spiritual than what some people may interpret it as. I think some people think of it as like, you know, your forces are inevitable to the universe, and so if you ask for it, the universe will help you out. I'm less about that, more about the fact that the more you speak, the more you act. So the more you talk about it with people, the more real it feels, and therefore subconsciously and consciously you will shift your behaviors little by little in order to achieve whatever you're manifesting. A quote that I recently came across was, "Ask for what you want and be prepared to get it." And it wasn't credited to anyone specific, but this really resonates with me and the idea of manifestation and caring about your personal finances, because it's not just about asking for what you want. It's about being prepared. And I believe an activity that you can consistently do in order to help yourself be prepared for those future opportunities is manifestation. One way that I choose to manifest is visual cues. So I go onto Instagram, for example, and I look at real estate accounts, because eventually I want to go into real estate investing as another income stream to help me get to the dream home. And then I also look at accounts with dream interiors and dream homes. So this ultimately acts as a visual reminder to yourself that you have long-term vision and you have this big picture in your mind that you really want to achieve. And that if you want to achieve those financial goals, you have to work now. It's a great way to visually and physically show yourself this is your future that you are envisioning for yourself. That is not where you are today. So where is the gap and how can you close it? So in my instance, I would go on Instagram, I would see all these downtown Toronto condos for sale. And I know that, you know, right now at this moment, I may not be able to afford that. But I know that in the next 3 to 5 years, I want to be able to afford a condo for myself. So if I ask myself, what can I do now? Well, one thing that I can do is to start saving 20 to 30% of my monthly pay into savings, and then also investing a big portion of those savings into the stock market, into index funds, etc., to make sure that my savings was growing on a year-by-year basis. Essentially, what I just did there was to utilize a very simple visual cue that other people may think, oh, it's just a listing on Instagram. But I utilized that to come up with one specific financial target to hit every month for myself. And every time I come across another visual cue, it will serve as a reminder for me to assess whether or not I am on track. And another way I like to manifest is to have future-oriented conversations with people. Asking what they want and listening to how they visualize their future helps you not only create a platform for you to then share as well, but to also see how people around you can help you get to your goal. Now, this doesn't mean, oh, use your friendship to make money, mwahahaha. It's more like share with people so that they can help you stay accountable. And then the final part about manifestation that I would like to mention in this episode today is really learning to say, why not? The dream homes that I want in Ontario cost around $3 million. For my pay today, that is unattainable. But why not for my pay in the future? Who knows where I'm going to end up in the future? Maybe 3 million is not a lot for me in the future. So while others may laugh, oh my God, you 3 million when people are barely retiring with $1 million, I practice saying, why not? And I find what this helps you with is that it puts you in a mindset that helps you take risks. And if you're someone like me who really doesn't love taking risks, this mindset really helps encourage you to do so. That 18-year-old that came to Canada with zero credit history, graduated university with zero savings, now has three income streams, and I'm now trying to add two more as we speak, one via my podcast and one via a side hustle that I won't reveal quite yet, but we'll do a full review on it in the future. Right now, these efforts may seem insignificant to other people, but this, remember guys, achieving your financial goals is not about showing other people. It's about you and developing yourself little by little every single day towards your goal. It may seem insignificant today, but I know I'll have had my financial goals realized while those who laughed won't. So here's my parting words to you for this episode. Dream big and really chase after it little by little every day. Practice manifesting, or in other words, speaking it into existence, and really practice positivity, especially with your internal dialogue. And I guarantee you, you will be off to a great start, setting up that strong foundation you need to realize your financial goals. Thanks for tuning into my intro episode, Money Doesn't Grow on Trees. If you like the vibes I'm giving off, go check out my next episode, also published today, and it's on how to save during these uncertain times. It's relevant, it's helpful, and also you can action on them immediately. As well, to support this podcast, please like and follow so you never miss out. I'll see you in the next episode.